welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and take a look at a proverb this morning, and this is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." We're going to take a look at that 23rd verse from a few other translations while we're at it. "Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. And finally, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." You know, as we look at this passage of Scripture again, I love this call. And I don't know how many times I've come back to this passage of Scripture just when I kind of need to get reoriented, refocused, reprioritized in my life, because you see the emphatic call, the father heart call to his son to give attention to the words. Incline your ear to the sayings. Not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It's like this intentional awareness again of the Word of God. And as I bring myself to attention again, I find life. There's a life, there's a health, there's a strength that come from those words. But then he brings it down to this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And I love how that ties it in, because ultimately we see that in all of that, you can see it, an attentiveness to this, an attending to the words, like you're almost attending to a garden with that involves your ear, your eyes, your just... And in that attention, you see that it brings ultimately an attention to your heart. With all diligence, give attention, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. If you can proactively keep your heart with all diligence, you can get on top of the issues of life. Yeah. He's showing us really a key here. And this morning, I want to look at that, diligently protecting your heart. You know, you can hire people to protect stuff. You can hire a bodyguard to protect your body. You can get insurance to protect your car or your house or protection over things. But only you can protect your heart. You can't hire somebody to cast down imaginations for you. You can't hire somebody to set your mind on things above. There is a diligence that we have in protecting our own heart. What does that mean? Diligently protect your own heart. How can I get out ahead of the issues of life by protecting my heart? I would just want to look at this morning about what that means and how we can, in a practical way, do that. First, to kind of be aware of things that come at our heart, and then how to be able to protect our heart in the middle of that. Now, as we go this direction, I want to qualify a few things as far as what I mean by diligently protecting my heart, by starting off what I don't mean by diligently protecting your heart. Diligently protecting your heart, you know, we're talking about protecting your heart. Sometimes this could be almost confused, and you could look at it and think of, you know, is this some kind of, you know, self-seeking and being self-centered and all about me and my, and, you know, being surrounded by my. And to realize when we're talking about diligently protecting your own heart, we're not talking about a form of self-seeking. Self-seeking is destructive in the Word of God. Self-seeking is what leads to selfishness and self-centeredness and self-pity and self, where you're consumed by self. That's not how you protect your heart. Diligently protecting your heart will protect you from self-centeredness and from self-pity and self, all that self stuff. What did Jesus say? We got to deny our self pick up our cross and follow him daily. So when we're talking about diligently protecting your heart, it's not a form of, you know, me against the world and where I'm living from this place of self-centeredness. No, what the scripture talks about diligently protecting your heart is completely different than what the world thinks of when it looks at something like this. We're going to look at how we diligently protect our heart from the Word of God. I'm also not talking about diligently protecting our insecurities. All right? Fear has torment. Those insecurities, it's not a hand of insecurities. Fear has torment. We're diligently protecting ourselves from those things. Our heart is in hands. That's not of self. That's not of fear. It's a heart that's diligently protected in God. Putting our heart in his hands and trusting him. What does that look like? To diligently protect our heart. We know how it starts out, attending to his words, eyes, ears, midst of heart. That's the context that we're diligently protecting our heart. So let's take a look at that again, kind of from a practical standpoint. What we mean by diligently protecting our heart. First of all, we're going to just look at it from two sides. And we're going to start with what we're calling outer protection, all right? Visible influences. In other words, as we're talking about the protection of our heart, we're going to start with what we can actually see with our eyes, just in the natural. And it's important to understand that because what we see, what we observe in the physical, natural realm affects our heart. And sometimes we don't always think that it does, but it does. So let's take a look at kind of a little bit of a case for that. First of all, Jesus makes the obvious one here. You've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, but I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay? Look at the principle of what's being said here. Jesus is saying what you're doing naturally with your eye can affect the condition of your heart. What are we talking about today? We're talking about protecting your heart. Protecting your heart. Understanding that what we do in the natural, we're talking about outer protection, visible influences, to understand it really does have an impact in our heart. A lot of times when we look at the natural stuff, we think of do's and don'ts, and I can't do this, and I can do this, and I can't do that. Look past that this morning. Don't think about this of what you can and can't do. Think past that and to think about how things affect your heart. There's things that you can do that will absolutely make a difference in your heart, the strength and the protection of your heart, all right? So there are things we could look at that could stimulate appetites that can ultimately affect our heart. We can just kind of go through a couple of them here real quick. Then Peter, now this is when Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter sees him, and he wants to know, they think it's a ghost, they think Jesus is a ghost, but it's not. He's really Jesus. He's really walking on the water. But then Peter calls out to Jesus, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. So Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat. He walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, he shouted. Immediately, Jesus reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? So here we see another example of just how what our eyes can see can affect our faith, in this case, can affect our heart. So we're talking about diligently protecting our heart, being aware of things that we're seeing. In this case, this would be something that you could see that could cause your heart to fear. This would be something that would stimulate appetites of your heart, of what we'd call the flesh. Here is you can see things that would stimulate your heart to fear in terms of protecting things. And then finally, here's another example. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So I'm just bringing out a few examples and this is an example of what we say. Do you know you can say corrupt and abusive words and it can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know the Holy Spirit is the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? And when we say things that are contrary to love, to the Holy Ghost, we sense that in our heart. There can be that grieving of the Holy, it affects our heart. So things I look at, things I listen to, things that I say, these are physical, natural things that have an impact on my heart. We need to be aware of that. Because we can almost develop a blind spot to things that can be hurting us, that can be making us vulnerable. And let me put it this way. Any of you watch the old Star Trek? I'm thinking of the old 60s one. But I think the 80s one does that too. But where you're in your spaceship, and Captain Kirk is having to take on an enemy, and he's asking the engineer, Scotty or whatever, he's saying, what are our shields at? Well, shields are at 100%, Captain, we're good. And they'll take a few hits. Oh, they're at 50%. Oh, they're at 30%. Oh, they're... And pretty soon, and they realize that their shields are degrading. And once their shields are gone, then just even a little blip could blow up because they got no shields left. When we do things that affect our heart, it's like you can be strong in the Lord, but things can work away at your shields. Things can work away, and all of a sudden, you're looking at things and doing things, and all of a sudden, you're creating vulnerability. You don't realize it, but those things really matter. And this is kind of the way Paul puts it in Galatians. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. What you plant, you'll also be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant corrupt seeds of the self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant good seeds of spirit life, you can reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. You know, he sums that up really. He's coming out of Galatians 5, where he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, all the flesh stuff. But you will bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But he's showing how what you do, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. And I remember one time the Lord kind of correcting me about the way I read this. He said, you know, sometimes if you read this religiously, you'll read it like this. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you know, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But we see that. And a lot of times we think of it like this. You know, if I sow to the flesh, if I get caught sowing to the flesh, I will of the flesh reap corruption. No. When you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption, whether anybody ever knows it or not. You don't reap according to what you get caught sowing. You reap according to what you sow. And it affects your heart. It affects the shield around your heart. It affects, you know? It's kind of like if I was to eat a big chocolate bar privately and you never knew, those calories would still be in me. Whether you ever saw me eat it or not, whether I ate it in the closet or not, I'd still have to deal with those calories. It's the same way here too. And what are we talking about with the external stuff? We're talking about, you know, in the same way you eat food with your mouth, you eat spiritual food with your eyes, and you eat spiritual food with your ears, and you eat spiritual food as you begin to speak things out of your mouth. What are we talking about? Again, don't confuse this do and don't, I shouldn't do that. See past that this morning. See how it affects your heart. That corruption is really the shields around your heart. It creates distraction. You begin to sow in that area, all of a sudden, you know, it begins to trigger things. And one of the things that we've got to realize as believers, really kind of in our human condition, is we've got to realize our own vulnerability just in terms of our impressionableness, how we can be affected by the world around us. We can. See, here you see, make no mistake about it. Be not deceived. God isn't mocked. Here's kind of another one of those. Be not deceived. Don't be so deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communication, association, corrupt and depraved, good manners, morals, and character. But me? Yeah. Even me, even you. But that's not affecting me. Well, it's important to realize, I will say this, this is where we have to, I'm going to go on to the next scripture. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. That's an exhortation to Pastor Timothy. Take heed. In other words, what are you doing and what do you believe? How are they meshing? How are they lining up? You don't believe certain things to get them right on a test. You believe certain things because it's a guide for your life. It's there to protect you. And so as we're looking at some of these scriptures, be not deceived. We've got to have the humility to realize that the things that we look at, the things that we watch, have an impact on us. They do, whether we feel it at the time or not. And when we continue to eat things, it's kind of in the natural. You can eat a certain diet of things that can have a bad effect on your physical heart. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, and it's not like it's an exact number of things, too. People are different. And it's not like if I have 5,000 hamburgers, I'm going to have a heart attack. You know, it doesn't work that way. Everybody's body's different. Everybody does different things. And it's not the first time you eat something or indulge something, do you have a big event. But as you begin to get things over time, things can begin to build up. Things can begin to weaken your heart. And you don't even realize that's what is happening. I kind of use the example once when I just in working out, I'd try to work out and run, and I'd get going, and then all of a sudden I'd be injuring my knee over and over again. How do I keep injuring my knee? And one time I realized while I was stretching, I was actually stretching out and I was hyperextending my knee. You know, it would be after I ran. And I just didn't realize it because I'd been running and I'd felt good. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just is like, check me, Ed, that you are extending your knee. It's like, oh, but I don't feel it, you know. But then after I'd cooled down, it's like, oh, my knee, how did I injure my knee? It's like a blind spot. And you got to pay attention. Pay attention, especially if I feel like I'm just constantly weak. There could be some blind spots. There could be some things that we're doing. We don't always mean intentionally, but just stuff that we're doing, habits that we've had, maybe things that we need to change. You know, the scripture says, you know, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Sometimes there can be just some things that we're doing that's causing that, that's creating that vulnerability in our heart. But so I just had to make that adjustment. And even to this day when I'm doing it, I'm consciously aware of. I'm having to be conscious of things. Because we can slip into things that we don't even realize. Now that passage that we just read this morning, as far as, you know, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, you know, are the issues of life, spring the issues of life. These are the next four verses after it. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your foot from evil. You know, sometimes you can be walking along and you could step in something. All right? You don't have to stop there and analyze it and, you know, smell it and feel it and touch it. You just remove your foot from evil, just instinctively. When you find yourself kind of off in something, you don't have to sit there and obsess and analyze it. You can just remove your foot from evil. You can see something's not right and remove your foot. Straight path. What is he talking about? He's talking about charting this course. He's talking about being honest with things. And again, what is the big picture of this? It's not to be holier than thou. Sometimes these course corrections are the very corrections that we need to simply make a spiritual health adjustment that can strengthen our heart. What happens, he said, when you keep them in the midst of your heart? It's life. It's strength. It's a powerful thing when you experience the life and the peace and the grace of God. But we got to realize, too, just as human beings, how impressionable we are. We can just absolutely, you can do something one time, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, yeah. And well, maybe it's good, maybe it's not good. You know, there was a few years ago, we'd come back from a Christian concert, and it was kind of late at night, and we wanted to have some ice cream. And I remember all the good ice cream places were closed, Dairy Queen and Culver's and all those. So all the thing that was open was this McDonald's drive-thru. It's like, oh man, McDonald's drive-thru, those little Sunday things. And, you know, my kids got them for years. I never got them because I wanted something, you know, something more significant. But it, yeah, well, I'm being honest anyway. So one, you know, it was after the concert, it was late night, and thought, okay, well, let's just do McDonald's. We'll do the McDonald's drive-thru and at least have something. And I remember eating it and thinking, man, this is really good. Oh my goodness. all the wasted years, you know, I've been passing them back to the kids. And there it was. It was really good. I was amazed. And it was like a few days later, I was at Sturgeon Bay. I had to go to Walmart for something. And as I was going, leaving Walmart, all of a sudden I noticed to my right, there was McDonald's. Now, Culver's was open, Dairy Queen was open, but here it was. I was seeing McDonald's out of the corner of my, and I had to decide, am I going to go there? Am I going to get it? And it was interesting just how quickly, you know, us human beings, we can experience something and it can get in us, and we've got to make decisions, whether something gets stronger, whether we bring it under. But what's he telling you to do? He's saying, let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you, because this is stuff that we can do. You know, we kind of the big mantra you've kind of heard even in recent, you know, in the kind of the recent year or so is about making America healthy again, kind of being conscious about what we're eating, paying attention to the ingredient label. And that's what really this is about. When we're talking about the external, the natural, the visible stuff, what are we doing? We're just talking about, you know, just being aware of the things that we're, you know, putting in our mouths, just being aware of the things that we're engaging in, those kind of things. And so that's kind of one area of protecting our heart, kind of from a natural external level. But then there's also an inner protection. So yeah, we can see the obvious stuff, the natural things, maybe things that I shouldn't be looking at, things that I should be looking away from. But to realize and to be honest that, yes, this stuff costs me. This stuff, you know, when I'm saying this stuff costs me, this is kind of where it begins to cost you, the outer stuff, is when we're coming to the inner protection, the invisible influences. Because it's not just the stuff that you can see. The Apostle Paul is very clear. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, as we're looking at kind of the external, a lot of that, we can kind of see it's kind of reactive. And those are things that we've got to be honest with ourselves about, but just be honest with kind of how it affects our heart in terms of kind of the issues of our heart and the things that we're going through, or the issues of life that spring from our heart, and to realize that when we're honest about that stuff, it affects our ability, you know, to deal with some of that, some of those issues and the things that come at us. But I just want to be a little bit more clear about how this impacts us from a day-to-day standpoint. You know, when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, there is a strength and a protection and a diligence that comes in a kind of a reactive in terms of understanding our external environment, but there is also a being strong in the Lord that is proactive. In other words, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There are things that we can do to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We're not fighting a battle that we're seeing with our eyes, but it's this invisible battle. But look what he says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, again, you think of that shield of faith, I think of, you know, shields up. What's your faith level at? Where's your shields at? Because here's where I've been in life. We experience attacks. We experience people saying things, doing things, that kind of an attack, or failure, things that we go through, circumstances. Things can happen to us. But I've noticed this through the years. The way it affects me is different whether I have the shield of faith up or whether I don't have the shield of faith up. When I'm strong in the Lord and I've got the shield of faith up, the very same thing can happen, and it can bounce off me and I can go on down the road. When that shield of faith is down, when my heart isn't protected, it blows up everything. One little thing can just blow up everything because my heart isn't protected. It might be, there could be some self stuff, there could be, you know, different things like that, but it's not protected by God. It's not protected by the shield of faith. Personal insecurity and self-seeking cannot do what the shield of faith can do. when it comes to protecting your heart. The shield of faith can do what? It can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Man, isn't that amazing? How the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God has the ability to diffuse stuff that comes at our heart. And you'll notice it quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. But what is it he's saying? He's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Part of protecting myself and part of diligently protecting my heart is realizing I'm in a spiritual battle. There are powers and principalities that are coming against me. And to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that look like? In Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What is he saying? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. When I'm talking about protecting your heart, and I'm talking about battles and things like that, I'm talking about when things come against your mind. Sometimes, again, you could be strong in the Lord, and all of a sudden, yeah, you hear some kind of accusing thought about something you did last year to try to make you feel guilty or condemned. You go, nope, that's not, I've been forgiven, I've been washed, I've been cleansed. You know, and you can come against it with the Word of God, swing the sword of the Spirit. In other words, other times, when your shields are down and all of a sudden you're already living on guilt and sin and condemnation and all that stuff, and that same thing, same suggestion comes by. It can just like, yeah, I know, and I did that too, and it's just, oh my goodness, I am pathetic, I'm lost. I have been amazed at how I can be so strong in the Lord at one time and weak in the Lord at the other time. Have you noticed that about you?
Yes.
Wow, am I the same guy? Yes, Ed. You know, this is a humbling walk, isn't it? It's not a one and done. It's not like I passed the theological exam and now I'm here spiritually forever. Nah, every day you're making choices to pick up that cross. Every day you realize I need the Word of God. The Word of God is what? It's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than two-edged sword. It cuts between your soul and your spirit, between how you feel and who you are. It gets in between that. Joint, marrow, exposes your innermost thoughts and desires. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why when you feed on the Word of God, when you get strong in the Lord and the power of His might, it's not because you're so clever or smart. It's because the Word is discerning, and that discernment gets in you, and the power of that Word gets on the inside of you. And you see things that your natural mental, natural human thinking can't see. Amen. We need the Word of God. We need the power. But to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. Now, we're going to just look at a quick few examples of what this means in real life that we all have to do and deal with. But I want to just start out by saying this. There's a reason why the Scripture says fight the good fight of faith. Because you've got that fight to fight. Here's something where I've made mistakes, I think, in my romantic idea of what it means to be a strong believer and a strong Christian. It's like, I'm going to get so strong in the Lord, nothing's going to bother me anymore. No. It's a nice romantic thought, spiritually romantic thought. But no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been walking with God, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith.
That's right.
And don't feel like there's something wrong with you. Oh my goodness, I got this thought, I got this fear, I got this temptation, I got this, oh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? We can go into a self-seeking mode of what's me and what's wrong with me. No. The Lord told you there'd be days like this. The Lord told you you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. The Lord told you you have an enemy who goes about as a roaring lion. The Lord told you that there's powers and principalities, and you're going to be wrestling them. I wrestled in junior high and high school. Wrestling, you know, it takes effort to wrestle. And you're not wrestling flesh and blood, but you're wrestling thoughts. And you can have a thought that can condemn you, and then you get victory over that thought, and then you're on top. And in wrestling, there's something called a reversal. You know, you're on top, and all of a sudden he reverses you. Now I'm on bottom. Now I got to get out again. What's going on? You're wrestling. You're wrestling. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't always need a 12-week course on something, on every little thing, every thought that you have. Do you understand? When you raise that shield of faith, it quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. In other words, when I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, there's a strongness in the Lord. I might not know everything about that dart or that dart or that dart, but I got the shield of faith and it quenches it. I'm not looking unto Satan. I'm not looking unto darts. I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm proactively raising a shield of faith. This is, we're talking about being diligently protecting your heart. There is a proactive time that we spend in the Word of God and that we realize there's a wrestling. You think, but this feeling is really strong. Yeah, we're all feeling it. We're all going through that stuff. It's a fight of faith. There's nothing wrong with you in that sense. And you're getting it from different categories. But it's the same fight. It's the same armor. Same darts. You know, sometimes I've just kind of got this visual in my head, because I know I've done it before too, where I'm going through life and that shield is down. No shield. And this dart's hitting me. This dart's hitting me. This dart's hitting me. And I'm crying out with all my why God questions. Why God? And he's saying, raise the shield of faith. Why don't you raise the shield of faith? Why? He's got his why Ed question for me. My why God question for him. Why Ed? Raise your shield of faith. I gave it to you. There's a shield of faith that you can raise that will quench the fiery darts of the devil. But there's a wrestling in raising the shield of faith. There's a decision. And I've got to decide sometimes. Those thoughts can come loud and strong saying, okay, am I going to be roadkill today by that thought? Or am I going to raise the shield of faith today? Am I going to say no in Jesus' name? I'm not going to get talked into a place of darkness and self and defeat. I'm going to raise the shield of faith and say, it is written. Now, these are just some areas that we do this regularly as we fight the good fight of faith daily and follow after him. It can be the area of failure when we go through things and we yield to the flesh and we're feeling condemned. The scripture says, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We need to understand that we have confidence toward God part of this. In other words, if I'm feeling guilty and I'm feeling ashamed because I did the wrong thing, I'm not just getting forgiveness to feel good again. No. I don't want to just feel good again. I want confidence toward God. That's how I live for God, from a place of confidence. That's how I exercise authority, from a place of confidence. That's where I'm living out the good works he's ordained me from. Confidence. The blood again, not just to make me feel better, it's to bring me back to a place of confidence toward God, fellowship with God, walking with God. How does that work? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And when I do this, I do both of those things on purpose. I say, Father, I said it, I did it, I was wrong, I receive forgiveness, and I receive cleansing. I receive cleansing from that unrighteousness. You're faithful, not just to forgive, you're faithful to cleanse. What does that mean? Hebrews tells us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, I know that when I say that and I declare it, I don't always just feel gooey goosebumps. I'm doing this by faith. But look at your life. Think about when you come to Christ. Think about some of the dumb things you've done since you've come to Christ. And then you've come back. And you did the dumb things again. And you came back. Dumb things, back. Now, I'm not saying it as an excuse or an enabling of sin, but I'm saying this. Either the blood of Christ has the power to cleanse your conscience or it doesn't. You're here. It does. It has. You have evidence in your life of the conscience cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, where you've been in some dark places and that blood cleansed your conscience and you've had confidence toward God and got more words from God and direction from God and revelation from God and been used of God. Amen. Dumb things. God restores you again back to the place of confidence. What I'm saying is this, the blood cleanses. We were singing about that this morning. We've got personal history with the conscience cleansing power, the blood of the Lamb. Man, we've got cause for our shields to be raised. There is no failure. There is no fiery dart. Where our sin has abounded, his grace has much more abounded. It was not a close contest. My sin versus his grace. It's not like he didn't have to go 15 rounds with my sin. His grace was greater. I don't have to be intimidated by my sin. I can fall and worship at his grace and humble myself under his mighty hand and receive that grace to help. This is one area where we protect our heart. What are we doing? We're protecting our heart from guilt and shame. We're protecting our heart and we're keeping it in a place of confidence toward God. Paul said, I strive to maintain my confidence, my conscience toward God. You know, I'm maintaining my confidence, my conscience. What does that mean? It means I'm diligently protecting my heart. If I'm living on top of stuff that I know is causing me to feel guilty and ashamed, diligently protecting your heart is diligently confessing that, not trying to live on top of it, but getting it clear, getting it out so you have confidence toward God again. That's what am I doing? I'm just diligently protecting my heart from condemnation, from shame. Diligently protecting my heart to keep it in a place of confidence toward God. Amen. Nobody can do that for me. I can't hire somebody to do that for me. Again, hire people to do a lot of things for you, but this is stuff where you have to diligently protect your own heart. But thank God he's given us the provision, that shield of faith. In other words, I'm raising that shield of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Here's another, and this is just kind of just some category stuff as far as diligently protecting our heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Think of that cupped hands. My insecurities won't keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Self-seeking won't keep. The peace of God will keep my mind and my will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is such an amazing contrast of Scripture, but we're talking about diligently protecting your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but diligently pray, supplicate, give thanks. In other words, I'm going through things. I see wind and waves and things that could just make me afraid. It's not that I'm ignoring those things in the sense that if there's something that I should pray about or something that could be a concern, what am I doing? I'm just praying about it. I'm just, what the Scripture says, supplication, it just means definite request. I see something and I say, Father, what about that? I don't know what to do about that situation. I don't even know what's true or what isn't true. I'm asking you, Father. I'm making requests. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm casting the care of it over on you. I'm humbling myself under your mighty hand. I'm praying about it. As I'm diligently, this is what we're called to do. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not called to achieve a certain feeling. I'm called to walk by faith. If there's something of concern, Father, here it is. Show me what to do with it. I ask for wisdom. That's what the Scripture says too. Count it all joy. Ask for wisdom, grace, direction, but then also thanksgiving. So, Father, I've put it in your hands. Now, here's the thing too. When I've got something going on, I can cast the care of it over on the Lord. Now, what I can't do is I cannot cast the responsibility of fighting the good fight on the Lord. I cannot cast the responsibility of having to resist the devil on the Lord. These are parts of diligently protecting my heart. I'm responsible. I resist the devil. I cast those cares on the Lord. I, through prayer and supplication, that's part of my diligently protecting my own heart. Those are the things that I can do, but don't make them bigger than that. That's what you can do, but that's all you can do. There's a natural part and there's a supernatural part to this. There's a part that I'm praying by faith, but then there's something else that kicks in that's bigger than my part, the peace of God that passes my, and I'm giving thanks by faith. There's a peace of God that passes my understanding that guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This comes back down to a lot of times doing what we know to do, but when we're in our situation, does it work here? Yes, it does. You know what growing up spiritually is? Realizing that the Bible really works in your situation too. It's realizing what you already know works in your stuff. That's what growing up spiritually is. You can look at it and analyze, but at some point you got to come back to it and say, oh yeah, I got to take heed to myself and the doctrine. Yes, This is where I'm supposed to pray. This is where I'm supposed to let the peace of God rule in my heart. And then what does it go on to say? I think that verse 8 is, if you're, for the devil, that has to be like such a trolling verse right there for him. Finally, whatever things are true and noble and just. So he's darting you with all these hypotheticals. And I'm just going with what's true and noble and honest and just. Are you sticking your head in the sand? No, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I prayed. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I've acknowledged him. I've supplicated. And I'm letting his peace keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. How do I let the peace of God? I'm going true, honest, noble, just. But what about this? What about this? And the Holy Spirit reminds you, you can go pure, peaceable, gentle. It's not cheating. It's not sticking your head in the sand. You've done what I've called you to do. You've done your part. Now let me do my part. What is this pure, peaceable? It's keeping the shield of faith raised. Amen. You're keeping that shield of faith raised because you've prayed. Now if he shows you some more things to pray, pray what he shows you to pray. But in the meantime, I don't have to figure everything out. I'm just doing what I'm called to do. That verse 8 is a shield of faith. What are things that are true and honest and just? That's where you go right into the Word of God. That's where you can go into worship. That's thanksgiving. That's praising God. That's Paul in the midnight hour, worshiping God with stripes on his back, glorifying God and shakes the prisons. He wasn't problem-solving the jailer. He wasn't problem-solving the Philippian people as far as what they did to him and all that. He was just going to God. I'll tell you what, this is part of the diligently protecting our heart to be able to say, have I prayed about it? I have. I have permission. I have permission for verse 8. I have permission to not think the worst without feeling irresponsible. No, I've done the responsible thing. I've prayed. It's a shield of faith. It's a shield of faith. It's when I try to make it a shield of feelings that it becomes very impossible to raise it. Unless I feel good, it's not raised. Oh, it is raised. I'm raising it according to the Word of God. Why? Because Philippians 4:6 is what's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm raising it in faith, and I've prayed. And I'm telling you, it's the same with when it comes to asking for the forgiveness of sins or whether you're casting cares on the Lord. It doesn't always hit you perfectly. But what happens is you stay in that place, in that posture, something switches. Something clicks, something, and all of a sudden you find yourself in fellowship with God. And all of a sudden when you realize, oh, I'm in fellowship with God, it's completely different paradigm. It's like, I'm not trying to not think the wrong thoughts. I'm thinking God's thoughts. And I'm hearing things, and I'm getting things from the Spirit of God, and it's different. I'm walking by faith. I'm not trying to get a good feeling. I am endeavoring to walk with God. I'm endeavoring to walk in fellowship with God. I'm listening. I'm not trying to get a good feeling. I'm listening for what the Spirit of God is saying about what I just prayed. I'm listening on the inside. I'm engaging God. That's the difference. That's part of diligently protecting your heart. It puts you back in that place of fellowship. And then finally, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. You know, finally, it just comes down ultimately to, when you're talking about protecting your heart, is love. I'm so glad that I can diligently protect my heart with the love of God and not the love of man. The love of man is not what protects my heart. My heart is protected by the love of God. I put on tender mercies. When I'm forgiving, when I'm letting bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor being put away from me, am I making my heart vulnerable to be hurt again? No, I'm protecting my heart. Bitterness is a heavy yoke. Bitterness is a very poor protector of your heart, if you haven't figured that out by now. Man, there's a love of God that just releases the peace of God again into your heart, letting that peace of God rule. What is there? When it comes down to this, I'm just going to say this. There's a decision that we all have to make to simply obey the commandment of love. Jesus said, love. Love one another. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. When you keep my commandments, man, you're going to experience something in me. You're going to experience that peace that passes your understanding. There's a decision to love. I remember being in a situation like this too, where I was fighting and I said, Lord, it's checkmate. Everything I do, there's no way out of this situation. in this relationship issue with this person. And the Lord said, no, there's a way out. Dad, you can forgive your way out of this. You can forgive your way out. You can forgive even as I have forgiven you. Aren't you glad God has forgiven you? Praise God. Amen. We can forgive, not because of our personality or because we should or because moral obligation, but because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what he says. Therefore, as the elect of God, do this. He didn't say as, you know, Greek, Italian, Ed House with your bloodlines and all that. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my natural. I'm doing that as a child of God. Born, we're child of love. We were singing about it this morning. You're born of God. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become something, to become children of God. Born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. Born of God. Praise God. That's who's forgiving in the situation. It forces me to have to remember that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It has to remember that I am the elect of God. Why does he say to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness? Because you have it to put on. It's in your spiritual drawers. You have it. I don't feel it. If you only knew the vindictive nature that I have, you're a new creation. You're a child of God. You're coming and saying, I am the elect of God. I can forgive. What is this? Faith. It's not feelings. You're doing this by faith. And I'm telling you, you're keeping that commandment of love by faith. There is something supernatural that takes place because you know you. Yeah, that's great. It is going to take God to be able to do this, right? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. But it's going to take God. That's all right. He's right there to help. Doesn't it? It pulls you high. It's an upward call, isn't it? Pulls you up to, okay, I forgive that by faith in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you what, when you let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, I found myself once, I was just like smiling and just like, Lord, why am I smiling? Why am I just, he said, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor has been put away from you, Ed. You know, the same Holy Spirit that will grieve when corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, that same Holy Spirit will rejoice. There's a joy of the Holy Ghost that you experience when the bitterness, the wrath and anger and clamor is put away from you. Be a grieving. I thank God for the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Not that he grieves, not that I make him grieve, but that he does grieve. When I get it wrong, keeps me on track. But I am so thankful for the rejoicing of the Holy Ghost. There is something about that. I don't even know how anything's going to end, but there's a witness of the Holy Spirit. It's like the way Jesus manifests himself when we keep his commandment of love. We experience something of his peace, of his joy. That's so powerful. That protects your heart. When you experience that place, it's like, I'm so glad this place is here. No matter who does what to me, there's a grace and there's a peace in God. Diligently protecting your heart. There's an outer protection, visible influences, things that we see, things that we experience that we can just do. It's very much like eating natural food, you know. You can decide, what am I going to eat? What am I not going to eat? Again, it doesn't matter what people see me eat physically or naturally. What I eat is going to affect me naturally. And to have that same realization spiritually, you know, I don't reap according to what I get caught sowing. I reap according to what I put in me. You know, whether anybody sees it or knows it or not, it'll have that effect and that impact. So part of protecting your heart is to simply be aware of the influences that we're allowing to have access to our heart. Because like Jesus said, like Paul said, you know, don't be deceived that none of us are above those things. They can wear down our defenses spiritually as far as being strong in the Lord. And then finally, there's that inner protection where we have to realize that, hey, you know, man, there's a battle going on here. There's powers, principalities, there's things, you know, that are coming against me. But at the same time, praise God, I've got shield. I've got the shield of faith. I've got the word of God. I can go back to these places and keep my conscience clear by the blood of the Lamb. I can keep my cares cast on the Lord, the things that would cause me to fear. And when it comes to offense, I can forgive even as God in Christ. I can put on that new man, put on those things and keep my heart protected in those different ways. So, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus today. We thank you for just the precious ways that you've given us to be able to protect our heart, to realize that we have a part to play. There's a part of diligence, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we do our part, as we look to pray, as we look to cast cares, to receive forgiveness, to forgive, Father God, that we realize that there's a part that only you can do. There's a part that only your spirit, only your blood can cleanse my conscience from dead works. There's a supernatural part. I can't do that. All I can do is confess my sins. But then you do what you do. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that I can be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. And then you do what you do, a peace that passes my understanding. Father, I thank you that you do what only you can do, as I do what I am called to diligently do, what you've given me to do by faith. And Father God, when it comes to the forgiveness of other people, Lord, that there's a joy of the Holy Ghost. Supernatural. We do our part, we forgive, and then you do what you do. Oh, there's a witness of joy and peace and grace, Father God. A well done, Father God, a manifestation of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to do these things. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I look to you to help me as I diligently protect my heart. I will confess sin and keep my conscience clear by the blood of Jesus Christ. I will cast my cares and keep my heart and mind clear in your peace, a peace that passes my understanding. And Heavenly Father, I will forgive as you have forgiven me and experience the joy of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. I receive you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for all my sins. The Father raised you up again, and you're alive forevermore. And you are my Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, I want to say, welcome to the kingdom. That's all you can do. It's a heart cry to God. It's a gift. And if that is you, let somebody know. Let me know. I'd love to further just encourage you, give you some good materials and things to help you on your journey, your walk with the Lord. Best decision you can ever make. Praise God.